Amen.
If you have a Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First and Second Peter are great books in the Bible. Of course, they're all great. And what a transformation in the life of Peter. And a lot of great, great truth here in these chapters. We spoke on chapter 1 some time ago, a few weeks ago, but we'll use it as a springboard into the message today. So 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's rejoicing even in the temptations, even in the trials. It's because of our hope for the future. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I want to speak today about the trial of your faith. Trials are not enjoyable, but God's sustaining grace is, his comfort is, and all that he does for us in that trial is a great, great help. But let's pray. Father, bless your word today. Please guide us, help us speak to us, and minister to us today, Lord. We all go through trials. Some seem harder than others, and sometimes there's times of refreshing. But I pray that you'd give us grace and strength now. Help us as we preach and as we hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The trial of your faith. Look back to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, and look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Why would you do this? Count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that's a wonderful thing. Look over with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's look there at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So the world and our life is filled sometimes with suffering. Look over at chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's look there at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, there's the trials again, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. And how do you put that together? The joy and rejoicing always seems to be with the trial. It says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So we read the Bible, and I know the kind of life I would choose. No problems, right? I don't want any problems. I never want the car to break down. I never want anybody to say anything bad about me. I just want health and wealth and prosperity. Amen. That is not life. In the world ye shall have tribulation. And all the verses that we read, the important thing for the Christian is we not only have a future home in heaven where it's going to be wonderful, but we have grace now to help us get through this life and to be a light for other people, to show them the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. But it says the trial of your faith, and I want to look at faith today, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I wrote a few verses down here, and I didn't change the clock back there, so I still have the same amount of time, right? Or no? No, that works the other way. Oh, we should be dismissing right now. Okay, I shouldn't have brought that up, but anyway, faith is the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed to us. Simply, it's believing the Bible. And listen to all of these verses. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. You do not need physical evidence to believe in God. You just believe in God because it's true and he's worked in your heart. The just shall live by faith. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are justified by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. If you went to Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, by faith Stephen, by faith Abraham, by faith David. I mean, it's by faith. And that's a wonderful chapter that shows the history of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Paul is talking about spiritual armor and how to defeat the powers of darkness. And he says, above all, take the shield of faith. It goes right with all of this. Be sound in the faith, stand fast in the faith. But then he said in another place, oh, ye have little faith. And then another place, how is it that ye have no faith? So the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Because that's what everything is all about. We're strong in the faith. And so we are able to fight that spiritual battle and honor the Lord. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, all of those things that we've talked about, that we're to add that to our faith. But you have to have faith to add to it. Here it says, the trial of your faith. Boy, we can have all kinds of testimonies about different issues and problems that people go through. And there's a way that God wants to help us through those and use those for his glory and honor. It's like Lazarus. Lazarus died. Jesus could have gone earlier, but he went so people could see this great miracle. And so there's a purpose sometimes in suffering and loss, the trial of our faith. Faith is what connects us to God. Without faith, you can know about God, but you can't know God. So faith is what connects us to God. Satan wants to break that connection. And that's what it is all about when he tries to separate us from God. Another writer said, faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. People of faith trust God. They believe God's word. They enjoy God. They worship God. They love God. Mark 7:37, he hath done all things well. Amen. God's never done anything wrong. Amen. He's sinless. He's pure. And so he hath done all things well. I think there's a great peace that comes when we trust God and have faith in God. Think of Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Think of the Garden of Eden. Man, what a place, you know? I mean, God was there. He came to talk to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. The animals were friendly, amen? There were no veterinarians around anywhere. You never had to worry about taking your dog to the vet or anything. I don't know about mosquitoes, but if there were mosquitoes, they didn't bite you. Amen? We're talking about black flies, and if there were black flies then. Anyway, that's all debatable, but it was called paradise. Somebody wrote this, the beautiful garden containing the tree of life where God intended Adam and Eve to live in peaceful and contented innocence, effortlessly reaping the fruits of the earth. Man, what a life. The garden also contained the tree of knowledge of good and evil, from which Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat. But God said, all of these trees you may freely eat. Just don't eat of that tree. That's pretty easy. Amen? That would be, you know, somebody built you a mansion, 3 swimming pools, 2 bowling alleys, a couple movie theaters, and 20 bedrooms and bathrooms, and they just said, stay out of that closet. I could do that. Amen? Yeah, I'll live in the rest of that. But anyway, we know that the devil tricked Eve, deceived her, and denied the word of God and wanted to deny the motive of God. He knows in the day that you eat thereof that you'll be as gods, and that's not a good motive. And so man sinned. John 8:44, the devil was a liar from the beginning. He wants to separate us from faith in what God says. Sometimes we don't understand, okay, this is what God says. I don't get that. I don't understand that. Believe it anyway. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You can even leave out the believe it. God said it. That settles it. Amen? Because it's true. It will come to pass. So why did God create Adam and Eve and knew they were going to fall? Why did God create Adam and Eve when he knew the future, when he knew what was going to happen? I'll answer it. It's a real simple answer. Because he's God, and he can do whatever he wants to do. My wife taught kindergarten one time, and she was doing some letters on the board, and she said, now why did I make this letter like this? And one of the kindergartners raised his hand and said, because you're the teacher, you can do anything you want to do. And, you know, there's a lot in the Bible that we do not understand. And there's all this conjecture. And, you know, well, maybe it was this and maybe it was that. And here's some verses that prove this. And, no, here's some verses that prove that. But God did it. We know he created Adam and Eve, and he knew they would fall. But the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, we see the plan of salvation. Anyway, I'm not going to go very far in that because we could be here really a long time. But why did God create man? Well, for his pleasure, we know. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. God said. And so by the word of God, just by the word of God, how did that work? How can you explain that? Didn't there have to be a big bang or some kind of cause? No, God just spoke it. Well, where did God come from? Ah, that's a good question. I can answer that too. God's always been. I can't wrap my mind around that. Well, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Amen? We do not understand. We have faith in the Bible. If we don't have faith in the Bible, we don't have faith in God, because it is God's word. In 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, no argument, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That is a mystery. There's no way to explain that. We have 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's the Antichrist. That's the work of the devil. Boy, that's a mystery too. We have 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God, 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. You have the mystery of godliness, you have the mystery of iniquity, and you have the mystery of the faith. They're mysteries because they're deeper than our minds can comprehend. So there's truth in the Bible that we just accept. We believe it because God said it. That is our faith. If you read the Gospels, and they could not understand the disciples and some people. They couldn't understand what he was saying until after the fact. One day we'll be in heaven and we shall know even as we're known. Amen? Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But we don't understand everything that God says. 1 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the victory. It's faith. And what is faith? It's believing God. It's believing what he said without outward evidence. Amen? There's an inward evidence that we have. And so we ask God, increase our faith, because that's how you get victory. How about creation? Well, I don't know. I really think there was an explosion out in the universe. Well, God is clear in Genesis chapter 1. Amen. God spoke the worlds into existence. He created everything, everything. And he did it in 6 days. Because it says in the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day. Yeah, but doesn't it say that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years? So wouldn't those be 1,000-year ages? That has no application to Genesis chapter 1. God spoke and created something in 6 days. How about the Red Sea? Well, how could that be? Years ago, I read an article in Reader's Digest. Remember that? I think it's still around. And it was talking about how Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the Reed Sea. It was called the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea. And it was only about that deep, but it was all soggy. And I don't know how you'd drown thousands of soldiers in soggy ground. Amen? But anyway, that was their idea of explaining that. Well, the Red Sea parted when Moses was there and held out the rod, and the Red Sea parted, and the children of Israel came across on dry ground. Well, I'm not sure I believe that story. Well, faith believes it. Amen? Well, you can't explain it. How did it happen? There's got to be a way to explain it. It doesn't matter if you can explain it. How about Jonah and the whale? Amen? You say, well, he was a great fish. Well, he was a whale of a fish. Amen? But it says that the whale swallowed Jonah, and he was there 3 days. Remember? That's in the Bible. I believe that. And that's a picture of the resurrection. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so there's a picture there. But I believe that happened. I would believe it if it said Jonah swallowed the whale. He might have to do it one bite at a time. But anyway, how about Noah and the ark? Noah and the ark, the flood. It's explained away by so many people. We believe that it happened. The Old Testament was written for our learning and for our admonition, but we have faith in the Word of God. Faith. It's a wonderful thing. Remember when the sun stood still for Joshua and his army? The sun stood still. Well, how did that happen? How about the stars that led the wise men to the Christ? And how did that happen? We know that these are miracles. Virgin birth, raising Lazarus from the grave, God becoming man. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on. And what I'm throwing these things out here for, and you've read your Bibles, and you've started in Genesis, and you've probably read all the way through the Bible. If you haven't, I challenge you to do that, because that's God's Word. All of it is God's Word. And so you read this one story, and you go, man, how could God do that? Well, put your faith in that and just believe it, because God did it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. The eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became man so he could take the penalty of sin on himself, because he was the sinless sacrifice. I believe it. How about the forgiveness of sin? And we'll get this something in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The forgiveness of sin, the salvation of our souls. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the appeasement, the satisfaction for our sins. We love him because he first loved us. We have Romans 3:25, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction and appeasement through faith in his blood. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There's so many verses about the forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven and God paying the penalty for our sin. For God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like to think about heaven. Sometimes the older you get, the more you think about it. or maybe you start getting health problems the more you think about it. But it's a good thing to think about, amen? In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. We have John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And where he is, we are going to be there too. I believe that. I don't understand it all. Again, every time I say this in the pulpit, I say Richard and I talk about it. But our conversation is, we can't explain it. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I know it's not going to be me flying around with two wings and sitting on clouds and playing harps. Amen? That's not going to be it. Well, I sure think it's going to be it. Well, you can think anything you like. And whenever you get there, you'll find out that it's going to be wonderful beyond expression. Unspeakable. It's going to be wonderful. Very, very good. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul said, absent from the body is present with the Lord. That quick. Luke 23:43, Jesus said to the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye, this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. I know it's going to be good, and you know that too, but we know it by faith. Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. When did he say that? He said that when they were in a storm and they thought that was it. All hope that we should be saved is taken away. But God told him when he was praying, nobody's going to die. And so Paul comes up and he says, be of good cheer in the middle of a storm. Be of good cheer. I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in the faith. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah is 90. Could you imagine him passing out cigars and saying, hey, we're gonna have a baby. I mean, 100 years old and 90 years old, but he staggered not at the promise of God because he was persuaded that what God promised, he was able also to perform. So we put faith in the word, and there's no way this is going to work out. Or we put faith in the word, and we're in the middle of a storm. Or we put faith in the word, and it just looks impossible. But it's faith. What time I'm afraid, I will trust. I will trust and not be afraid. And there comes a joy and a peace. All because of that. Moses, by faith, endured as seeing him who is invisible. All of those trials, all of that drama, he saw the Lord. And it got him through it. Faith is not the absence of suffering or sacrifice. You're not a good Christian simply because you don't have any trials. That's not the criteria for, you know, strong faith. It's suffering, there's a trial, there's this problem, there's that problem, but we trust the Lord to see us through that. Faith does not always lead to a comfortable life, it leads to a comforted life. Not a comfortable life, but a comforted life. Faith does lead to spiritual victory and the joy and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You've read that verse, you probably have it memorized. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God passeth understanding. How could you have peace through such a trial? John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I spoke this to you that you might have peace. Peace is a wonderful thing. Spiritual peace. It's just, and you know it's from God because it doesn't make sense to have peace through some of the trials that we go through. You know that the comfort of God is able to comfort you in all your tribulation so that you can comfort other people with the comfort wherewith you are comforted of God. And so God gives that love. He gives that mercy. He gives that peace. He gives that to us so when the trial comes, that's where the testimony is, and it helps us greatly. We pray, Lord, increase our faith. And God says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Well, how do you get patience? Through tribulation. But patience he gives us because of the trial of your faith. We pray, Lord, give me the victory. And God says, take the shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. The trial of your faith. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. Boy, what a great, great chapter. Elijah comes back on the scene. Remember, he had prayed for 3.5 years that it wouldn't rain. And so Ahab's mad at him. Everybody's mad at him. He comes back on the scene. And he has this big trial with the prophets of Baal. And they are calling on their god, Baal, the sun god, to rain fire down. And nothing happens. Not a thing. Elijah begins to mock him. And then he says, now remember, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. He repaired the altar that was broken down. He cut up the bullock, set it on the altar for a sacrifice to God. And he says, get, I think, 4 barrels of water and pour it on this, and we'll make a little ditch around it, pour it. And then he said, after they did it, he said, do it again. And so they did it again. I think it was 3 times, and they did it, and they poured all this water out. And then Elijah says, God, answer my prayer. I'm paraphrasing this. Send fire down from heaven, and the Lord did. And when the fire came, it licked up the stones, it licked up the water, it licked up the sacrifice, it just consumed everything. And the people said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God, because of that great miracle. Amen? In that time. Well, you come to chapter 19, and you don't have to turn there, but I want to get there. In 1 Kings chapter 19. So, there's a great miracle takes place. Now, all of a sudden, Jezebel's mad, and this is what she says in chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. This was the lie of intimidation. Man, did she try to intimidate him, and she was an intimidator for sure. And she says, I'm going to kill you like you killed the prophets. I go on a little bit further. And it says, and verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Ah, here's another lie, the lie of escape. If I just get out of here, I'm going to go as far away as I can go from this problem, and she is not going to get me. That's the lie of escape. You can run from things, it doesn't solve things. And then verse 4. But when he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and he said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than my fathers. That's a lie of hopelessness. It's kind of a self-pity. And if we end up there, all we want to do is everything to be over. These are the lies of the devil. The lie of intimidation, the lie of escape, the lie of hopelessness. And we find later in that chapter that there's a still small voice. And it's a miracle. Amen? And God is working. You can read chapter 19 later, but you see how God is working. And his word now encourages the prophet, and he goes on. And he's victorious and does a great work for the Lord. How about John the Baptist? Matthew chapter 11. I must hurry. Matthew chapter 11, Luke chapter 7. God is saying what a great man John the Baptist was. But John the Baptist got a couple of the disciples together and says, is Jesus really the one, or do we look for another? Think of that. This is John the Baptist that said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. That's the Messiah. That's the Christ. That's the promised one. He's recorded, or it's prophesied about him in the book of Malachi. He's going to come and say that. This is John the Baptist. And now he's in prison in a very difficult time. And he said, is he the one, or do we look for another? And Jesus says, go back and tell John. Speak to John what you see and what you hear. And they did that. And that reestablished his faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Boy, we can get in some real difficult places in our life. Romans 10:17 says that. Faith in his word. God loves you. God loves you. You ever think, how could he love me? Some people have that kind of a thought. God loves you. And guess what? God loves the person that's sitting next to you. And God loves the person that's in the car going the other way. And God loves the lady at the checkout. And God loves, amen? God so loved the world. God loves, how could God love that person? You know? How could God, they cut in front of me in line. How could God love them? Kid, are you there? Okay. God loves everybody. Amen? And God loves you. God's forgiven you. Yeah, but I can't forgive myself. But he's forgiven you. Amen? So you can forgive yourself. Forgive your neighbor as yourself. It's an important principle in the Bible. How about this one? He's working in your life. My wife is quite a bit older than me. My birthday's coming right up here. And I'm going to be 72. That's true. And my wife turned 72 a long time ago, in October. And anyway, we're 72. And you know what? We are so learning so many things about God. It is God that worketh in you. Amen? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And man, why didn't I see that? You know, and man, is that just coming to pass now? And boy, it's a wonderful thing to know God's working inside of you. Amen? And God worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that. That's a promise from God. He says that. I want a strong faith. I'll never have a strong faith without a trial. I want patience. I'll never have patience without tribulation. I want to add to my faith, and I'll never do that without the word of God. And so God shows us how he can supernaturally work in all of our lives to give us that joy and to give us that cheer. Amen. You know, when you think about Paul and Silas, they were rejoicing. They were singing songs of rejoicing in the midst of a jail and all the circumstances that were there. I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I don't know if you've ever read this. Think of that. I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. So don't leave church today and saying, I don't want to be strong. Not me, man. I just want to be as weak as I... Just leave me alone. I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't need spiritual strength. I asked for wisdom and God gave me problems to solve. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give it to all men liberally. Amen. So God will give you wisdom to go through the trial. Sometimes you can't see what to do until you're in the trial. I asked for courage and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for patience. And God placed me in situations where I was forced to wait. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. That's a good one, isn't it? I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed. Nothing I wanted, everything I needed. My prayers have all been answered. To God be the glory. Lord, increase my faith. Faith is trusting God. It's believing God. I don't need all the evidence out here. In Psalm 102, verse 23, the psalmist said, he weakened my strength in the way. God weakened my strength in the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. So God weakens, God tries, God tests. He does all of that to strengthen us, to draw us closer to him. And the devil comes along and accuses God He accuses God to us and us to God. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he said, that's not good. But those things can turn out for good if we love God. I want to close with the story of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were commanded to worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. And so when the music played, they were supposed to bow down like everybody else. And they didn't do it. Nebuchadnezzar was mad, and he heated a furnace that they were going to punish people, throw them into the furnace. He heated it 7 times hotter. It was so hot that when they did throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, the people that threw them in died from the heat. So they challenged him again. They said, no, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, we are not going to bow down. God is able, but if not, if he doesn't deliver us from the furnace. And so they just stood their ground, and they were thrown into the furnace. And somebody said, didn't we throw 3 in? There's 4 in there. And one is like unto the Son of God. And when they came out, there wasn't the smell of smoke. Nothing was burnt, you know. And boy, it was a testimony for the glory of God. But they didn't know it was going to be that. Paul didn't know he was going to get out of prison. These Christians that we talk about, they didn't see it. They didn't see how it would work. But if not, whatever we're going through today, have faith in God. Trust God. He's reliable. Amen. He can give us peace. He can give us comfort. He might not change our circumstances, but he can give us strength. He can do all of those things for us. And the devil would want to separate us from that, because that's what draws us to God. If you've ever been in trouble, you go to your knees, don't you? You spend time in prayer. When you get in trouble, don't refuse to do that, because that's what's going to help us. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the truth of it. Increase our faith, Lord. And as we say that, we look for you to help us in the inner man, strengthen us there. Give us wisdom. Give us peace. And give us the joy that we know that you're helping us. Minister to every heart here, Lord. And to those that we brought up for prayer that are ill, that are having trials, even serious illness, I pray that you'd increase their faith, that they might see that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. Bless today now. In Jesus' name, amen.